You're listening to WONY Oneonta.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Red Dragon Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to WONY 90.9 Oneonta. As I said, we have a very special guest on the show this morning. We have Scott from Office. Scott, you there?
Yes. How you doing?
I'm very good. How are you, sir?
Not bad. Not bad. Just waking up here, drinking coffee.
It's always a good thing. Try to stay awake.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you getting up early to do this interview with me.
Oh, totally. It's good. Glad to be here.
Great. Thank you very much. So, your band's album is called Mecca, came out at the beginning of January, and it's currently available for free on your website. You can visit Office on their MySpace, myspace.com/officemusic. So I guess the obvious question to you, Scott, is why was it released for free when you could have obviously just charged from the get-go?
Well, I guess the buzzword these days is economy.
Yeah.
It seems like every time you turn on the TV or the radio or pick up a newspaper or magazine, you're kind of bombarded by the fact that the economy is kind of in a lull at the moment. So I kind of played off this idea that it would be fun to give away an album to people just to, to kind of spread the idea of music. And then also it was kind of a reaction to the just the kind of bubblegum candy promotional high, type of heavy promotional thing that we went through with our label, being on a major label in 2007. So it was kind of a reaction to that. I wanted to do something that was the opposite. So.
Do you think a lot of bands are, I know everyone's calling it the Radiohead model, but do you think a lot of bands are learning from 2007 when Radiohead released their album In Rainbows for free and essentially put out a tip jar, and they made a lot more money off of that than they ever would have releasing it commercially. Do you think a lot of bands, a lot of indie bands are learning from that and trying to mimic that?
I've seen it go both ways. I've seen a few, like my friends' bands who are like really underground and, in Chicago and Detroit. And, they're starting to give away music for free on their blogs or whatever. So that works for them to get shows and stuff. But then I've also seen indie bands who, should be following that Radiohead model, but it seems like they're doing the opposite and they're, hyping themselves up even more, via Pitchfork and
yeah.
All this kind of stuff. So it seems like it's kind of, we're getting bombarded by music even more than ever,
Yeah, I get you. It's like, I guess if you're going to give it away for free, it better be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you're going to release something for free and it's a pretty crappy product, then I guess not going to get anywhere.
Exactly. How many artists and how many mashups and mixes, DJ mixes are available on for free
exactly.
on the internet?
That's very funny. We were just talking off air, and I've read online that you actually just you were currently not on a label, and now you are on a label. So this is going to get a vinyl release.
Yes, I'm really excited. Mecca was kind of produced with the intention of a vinyl release. I wanted a very organic sounding record, very analog driven record, and it was designed to have that old sound. It really digital any kind of digital medium doesn't really do it justice, so it needs that kind of wax treatment, as they say.
Was it recorded analog, or did you use digital means to record it?
I use a hybrid of digital and analog equipment. I have the luxury of digital equipment is it allows you the convenience of quick editing, and it's just a lot faster moving. You can make very giant productions, pretty quickly. And but I end up dumping it into tape and running it through tubes and just to warm it up, to give it that kind of old saturated sound that all of us grew up listening to.
Very cool. Do you have a release date for the vinyl version, or?
No, I don't. But I think in a month from now it should be available late March.
Very cool. Are you a record collector yourself, or?
Yeah, I just got back into it. Funny story that you mentioned that. I had a pretty big collection of vinyl going, and then I was moving into my apartment a couple years ago in Chicago. I was switching apartments, and I borrowed our drummer's van, Erica. I borrowed her van, and the hatchback didn't latch all the way, and I had a speed bump, and all of my records fell out onto the street, and I didn't find out until I got back to the apartment, and they were all gone. every single LP I've ever owned was gone. So I started rebuilding my collection, and getting back into it now.
Really interesting.
It's kind of a bummer.
That's definitely a big bummer. With the release of Mecca, this isn't the first time you've ever released music for free. In 2005, you were the iTunes Download of the Week with your song "Wound Up."
Yes,
and that was downloaded over 300,000 times. I think a lot of people I know who discovered you through that, including myself. So, what was your reaction to the sudden? Was there like a sudden jump in your popularity as an indie band?
Yeah, it changed my life actually. to put it bluntly, you know, we were pretty much an underground project. You know, nobody. Not even in Chicago, you know, we're still very, kind of a little cult following of like maybe 1,000 people or 2,000 people around the Midwest, and almost, you know, virtually unheard of in other parts outside the Midwest. And then that single was available, and 322,000 people downloaded it, and within. Literally overnight, within a month, we were playing South by Southwest, playing Lollapalooza, touring, signing with James Iha's label, and it literally changed my life.
Wow! So, do you think the internet has been a very big catalyst for your success as an indie band?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, it's a love-hate relationship. I'd prefer to, just be making music and dealing directly with people face to face, but that's just not the way things are, going anymore. It's just kind of the way it is. You have to work with technology and, kind of be forward thinking in that regard. The internet just, really allows that freedom to communicate with listeners and write them on a regular basis when they write you. And for example, my relationship with you, Andrew.
Yes, we met on Facebook.
Yes. We are the future.
We are the future. We are the world. So one thing I really like about your newest record is that the songs it flows very well. Like songs literally flow into each other. Were you setting out to achieve this from the start when you started this project, or is this something that just kind of happened organically?
Definitely. I constructed it like the old albums were constructed back in the 60s and 70s, which that's kind of a dying art form. The idea of making a body of work that actually works off each other and flows like a composition in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, we because of the digital age, people, buy singles, people are more single oriented. They have a very short attention span. It's all quick sound bites, quick singles, quick songs. And so this was, and even being on our major label, it was kind of this hodgepodge album of that they put together of a bunch of different songs that I had written over the course of like 6 years or something. So none of them really had anything to do with each other.
Yeah, it was just a compilation of all the all of your previous work when you were kind of unknown and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. It was almost like a greatest hits album. Polished for mass consumption, which was really kind of out of our control. So this record was very much a coherent body of work that was written in a specific time period, written for an album and written off of each other and then constructed, you know, very consciously.
So what was influencing you when you were writing the album?
What
kind of music, I mean?
Oh, what kind of music?
Yes.
Gosh, I was listening to a lot of different stuff. I was listening to a lot of broadcast. I was listening to a lot of Serge Gainsbourg, Motown,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of, like, early glam rock, like, you know, T-Rex and, and David Bowie and stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's mostly just that kind of stuff. And then, you know, just kind of late 60s psychedelic rock, stuff like that. I was just trying to get out of the usual predicament of listening to stuff that had been, you know, just kind of a staple in my musical diet for so long. Trying to get out of clean sounds, getting more into dirtier organic sounds.
How do you write songs? Do the lyrics usually come before the music, or is it the other way around for you?
Usually it's a concept for a song. So, like, for example, there's a song on the on Mecca called Double Penetrate the Market.
Mm-hmm.
And the first verse, it's all written around the concept of two. And so the first verse is about the Olsen twins, or loosely based on the Olsen twins. It's not. I've changed the names and some of the ideas. And then the second verse is based around Paris and Nikki Hilton, sisters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I came up with that concept, and then the song followed later. And then, for example, another song, you know, I might get the concept for a song like Aphrodisiac Missiles. You know, I'd read an article in a newspaper about, a weapon that was being developed in the 90s during the Clinton administration. It was basically an aphrodisiac that they would unleash on the enemy to make them more interested in sex and less interested in fighting, which I thought that was hilarious. They actually nicknamed it the gay bomb. And, this whole I thought it was brilliant. It almost like the whole idea of make love, not war, which is pretty relevant in this day and age. So I just kind of went with that and wrote a song about about loosely based on the gay bomb. And so that's what that song is about. But musically, yeah, it's always kind of written musically first, the melody and the chords, and then the lyrics, make their way later.
Interesting. One thing I've noticed is that you are currently the only member of Office at the moment. Mm-hmm. How is that so, or is there anyone joining the band or whatnot?
Well, it's been one of those things where it's never really been your conventional band. For the first few albums that I made under the name, it was just me and a bunch of random friends. And then, it's always kind of been that way, and then that song wound up, blew up a little bit, and it was, you know, it was kind of forced into a situation to kind of present it as a band.
Hmm.
I've had probably 30 people in and out of Office since I started 9 years ago.
Wow.
So it's kind of like every office, you know, people
come, people go,
people go, you know, people get lost, people lock themselves in the closet. These days I'm just kind of keeping it, keeping it with myself. I still work with Erica, in Chicago. And then I still work with my, our keyboard player, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
These are musicians that are on Mecca and have played on Q&A and A Night at the Ritz and other albums from the past. So it's kind of like a collective or a project, if you will. I don't like to think of bands, you know. There's always this sacred lineup, and with Office, it just doesn't exist. You know, it just doesn't exist.
So I've read that you are currently working on the next Office project.
Yes.
How long is that? How is that coming along?
Good. I'm really, really excited about it. I've been developing some really interesting drum sounds, and buying a lot of really bizarre instruments and incorporating those into the music. I'm trying to branch out even more. I'm trying to trim the fat with all the music. I'm trying to write a little like slightly shorter songs that are on a mecca, and really going for the whole organic thing even more. But I'm writing string arrangements and some horn parts, and there's like some harp, banjo, dulcimer, you know, a lot of piano, and you know, a lot of different sounds that haven't been on Office Records in the past.
Interesting. Are you going to be doing any touring for Mecca, or is it kind of just going to stay as it is?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's pretty expensive to tour. You know, it's
especially
not,
now.
Yeah, it just is. With touring too, you know, it's kind of hard to break even. Usually artists are kind of spending more money than they're actually making just to tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spent the last 3 years of my life pretty immersed in the music business, and you know, I've found that I can kind of sustain myself a little bit better just kind of chilling out in the Midwest area. So and then maybe, you know, taking road trips here and there to New York, LA, the major markets.
Mm-hmm.
And then if somebody writes and says, hey, come to Boise, Idaho, we'll pay you, you know, $3,000, I'll definitely jump in the van and play it.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just one of those types of things. It's a tour is quite an ordeal financially.
So I guess I guess you haven't really done that much touring. I guess just for Night at the Ritz, you had to make the rounds.
Yeah, we toured with Early Mart. That was a lot of fun. They're great. And yeah, we toured all over the basically within, I think, 6 weeks or something, we played in every single state in the U.S. besides three, and then also a couple cities in Canada as well.
Nice. Well, when I was talking to you off air about how I was at Lollapalooza, and I just want to thank you for giving me your set list just randomly.
Oh, were you the guy that I handed the set list?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, awesome. That's cool.
Yeah. I have that just in my room, just saying office with the date on it. I thought that was really funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. I remember that. I'm like, wow, that's so random.
Yeah, it is kind of random now because I'm here all the way in New York and you're in somewhere in Michigan.
Yeah, months later.
Yeah, months later, definitely. But Scott, I want to thank you so much for being on the on my radio show with me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Andrew.
What song? I know, as I said, we're doing a love song podcast, but first I want to, not really podcast. I do podcast the show, though. What song do you want me to play from your latest album?
Oh, gosh.
I have them all here.
Are you guys allowed to play pretty much anything?
Except for Songs at Curse, so that takes out Trainwreck DJs and Silent Parade.
Okay, let's do Enter Me, Exit You.
Okay, cool. And as I said, we're doing a love song show. So do you have any love songs that are kind of on your mind? Or
If you got Tracks of My Tears by Smokey Robinson, that would be pretty awesome.
All right, we do have that. All right, thank you so much. This is the Scott from Office. You can download their latest album, which is titled Mecca. I really suggest it. It's one of the best things I've heard. I know it's early in 2009, but it's one of the best albums that you can probably find out there. You can go to their MySpace at www.myspace.com/officemusic. It has links to download it. Don't go to last.fm, go to the other one, like SendSpace, I think. That sounds a lot better. So we're going to go to the song Enter Me, Exit You from Mecca. Keep it locked to WONY 90.9 Oneonta.